You know the words. Let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go.
I have breaking news.
Oh.
I have more breaking news.
Shattering, breaking through the ceiling news?
This is news for you.
Like car driving through the
and
window breaking.
And I wrote
breaking.
This part of the notes at work while your partner looked over my shoulder and was like laughing at you the entire time.
Because, laughing at me?
Oh, at you. Because I said out loud, oh, wow, it's a big day for Matt. And then he looked and just started cracking up once he saw what I was looking at on what is
and what was that
peoplemagazine.com
and what was that.
Costco commits to hot dog and soda combo price forever.
And the thing I hate about you the most is that, one, I already read this yesterday because I follow the Costco Reddit page.
And you know what he said?
Because
to
I'm
me?
Mentally ill.
You know what he said to me?
What?
He said, that's, you know, when Matt has his hobby, he has to follow the Reddit page.
And mama. And also, guess who was at Costco today getting that $1.50 hot dog and feeling like a free American?
You didn't ask me what I wanted. You didn't ask me if I wanted the six.
I
for
wasn't
one
picking
muffins.
You up shit because I could barely lift any of that stuff I bought to my own
you
apartment.
Didn't get me any muffins, did you?
I have muffins in the freezer. Which I learned on the Reddit page. It's good to freeze them. You can reheat them in the toaster oven later.
And you didn't even give me any. Okay, so this is for people. Quote, Costco Wholesale will keep its hot dog and soda price at $1.50, the company promises. Though price hikes have been happening for specific items.
Yep.
The big box retailer has committed to keeping that particular snack under $2.
It's not a snack,
quote,
it's a lifestyle.
We really don't look at it that way. He said, the CEO, a CFO, Richard Galanti, said during a presentation on fourth quarter financial results that they're trying to fill holes, gaps in their financial budget. Quote, he wants to still be more aggressive in other parts of the store, but we want to hold the price on the hot dogs and soda a little longer. Forever. If adjusted for inflation, Market Watch calculated, the hot dog combo would be $4.11 by now. But it's a massive part of the brand's culture and history to keep it at the dollar.
No, it's culture. Tax. It's literally culture. Like, this is a community that we
no,
have
listen,
here.
No, listen, guys.
They changed that price. People will die. Like,
listen, we're not outing ourselves as people of like greater suburban experience.
Oh no, I'm not doing that. I apologize. I'm not from a suburb, unlike some people.
I
here.
Have seen your
against your
house.
Will.
I have seen your house, and I've seen where your parents.
No,
live.
You haven't.
It's a suburb,
it's
mama.
Quite literally not. If you want me to sound like an actual asshole,
guys,
it's near the beach. It was a beach house, which is a lot worse.
Suburbs can be on the beach.
But it's completely not a suburb. It is a party town
guys,
full of drunk college
guys,
students,
I want you all to ask.
Full
I want
of
you
bars
all to,
and
I want you all
idiots.
To go online and tweet at _ Matthew Lawson, San Diego is a suburb.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And where did you grow up again?
I grew up
out the zip code, mama. Yeah. Out the zip code.
Yeah.
Your entire town is a Liberal. Suburb
okay,
of a
sorry.
Suburb
no, no, no.
of San Francisco.
Shut the fuck up. No, see, this yeah, is the, uh-huh. thing. This is the uh-huh. thing that I hate about you uh-huh. city people. Okay.
Oh, so I am a city people. There we go. Confirmed, done.
Suburbs
conversation
can be in the
over.
City. Okay, Los Angeles is a big suburb, and we call it
that's
a city.
True. Oh, I always call it a suburb.
But I'm just
why
saying,
not from Sa- I'm not
you
from
don't
Los
get
Angeles.
To, if you get to redraw what a suburb is, I get to as well, because there's like, what, 30,000 people where I'm from?
There's even more where I'm from. San Diego has millions of people living
saying,
in it.
But I'm saying, I'm going to say that that's the excuse, right? Like, there's more fucking cows than there are people. But, like, I'm just going to say I'm not a suburb, right?
Oh, so you're, like, in the rural farmland.
It's a farm town,
okay,
right?
Well, then that's
Salinas,
what you like to call
the
it.
The Salinas Valley, Watsonville County, farms. It's not a suburb. Even though there's tract housing. Oh, not a suburb, though.
I literally lived in a destination location. People drove hours
oh, guys,
to get to where
guys,
I live.
Guys.
I told you it's worse.
Guys.
But it's true.
He didn't want to sound like an asshole.
I moved for a reason. I didn't like living there.
But anyways, my point is mm-hmm.
people
of
suburban experience.
White, lower to upper middle class experience for the
oh, my
later
mom was at Costco every
life.
Weekend, so it totally applies to well.
People of parents who go to Costco experience.
Absolutely me.
My point, you dickhead, was that the hot dog was $1.50 when we're born, mm-hmm. and it's going to be $1.50 when we die.
Yeah.
And if it ever changes,
and that's the only thing we have.
American society will collapse.
Like
and
I told
I
you,
don't think you all know that I am being 100%,
100% serious. I follow that Reddit page because you see true chaos, and people literally are like, "I will immediately cancel my subscription if it goes up by one penny."
Guys, people rely. People
it's feeding
think,
America.
Like people think of. the Costco hot dog as more reliable than like Social Security, right? Like it is literally a subsidized amenity to like every single American that people would riot over. Okay. Like when the chicken conversation came up,
the rotisserie for $5,
the rotisserie chicken was going to go up. You're lucky they weren't breaking windows and like rioting in the streets, right? Like,
and they've removed the good stuff. Like, they used to have that $10 extra large pizza you can take home and bake. That shit like fed my family for weeks, and they got rid of that. They're not bringing it back, and it's quite literally the worst thing that's ever happened to us. I do love that they have this quote in this People article, which I remember from 2018 as well, where originally they tried to hike the price again, the board of Costco or whatever, the people, the execs at the top. And the Costco co-founder quite literally said, "Jim, we can't sell the hot dog for $1.50. We're losing our rear ends." And he said, "If you raise the effing hot dog, I will kill you. Figure it out." And then they built like a bunch of plants in like Chicago and LA, like literally just started making their own hot dogs.
So they're like, the solution to keeping the prices down is pollution. Is filling the skies of Los Angeles with hot dog water moisture.
A hot dog is pollution in a hot dog form.
Here's some things, though, that we will not be talking about. Are you ready? Coco Austin responds to critics after giving daughter six bath in the kitchen sink. Here we go again.
Who are those people?
Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde pack on PDA amid split rumors. Vanderpump stars Katie Maloney, Tom Schwartz settle divorce. Khloe Kardashian calls herself a fatty for eating Kourtney's gummy vitamins. Vanderpump Rules stars Katie Maloney, Tom Schwartz settle divorce, which I put in there twice. Apologies. Netflix has removed the LGBTQ tag from Dahmer. Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, following backlash from subscribers. Grimes claims she couldn't afford a house without Elon Musk's help. Duh. The house without bed sheets. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Erica Jane's mansion sold for $7.5 million to pay back victims of husband. Saucy Schroeder admits she, quote, still loves to judge people in podcast return. Prince George told classmates, quote, "My father will be king, so you better watch out." No, you better watch out, you little shit. You better never see me in the streets, fucking Prince George. You think being a kid is going to protect you from me kicking you in the fucking shins? See what your dad has to say about that. If you are the Royal British Army, we're joking. Please don't come to my
Don't kill step. This child, but also we're completely joking.
Okay, so...
We do have breaking news. We do have absolutely earth-shattering, star-colliding breaking news.
What the fuck?
Do you remember a few years ago when we talked about the photos of Meghan Trainor and her husband, what's his name, Daryl Sabar or whatever, leaving that sex shop while he wears those like feet shoes that grip around the toes? You know what I'm talking about?
The feet shoes, I think, are the thing about that photo that sticks in my mind.
So we have an update. Okay. There's 5 years later, there it has finally been addressed by Meghan Trainor in a viral post on TikTok.
Okay, play this fucking TikTok.
You know how people are using that Nicki Minaj audio to
just play the fucking I don't even know, like I don't even need to know. Just play it.
Let's play.
Oh, one thing about me is that 4 years ago I went in a sex shop and got paparazzi with my husband named Daryl, despite his doonie. And it was embarrassing. Not what you think. No, it wasn't. It wasn't for us. I mean, we get pretty freaky, but not like too much. It was for a friend who was too shy to get a vibrator and lube. So I bought it for her. But the sad thing was, my husband decided to wear his feet shoes, and the paparazzi got a picture of it. Oh no, the world saw. And it was after a workout. We didn't look good. We kind of looked sad. And it went viral. My mother was pissed. But it's okay, my friend had good sex. So it was worth it in the end. Ha ha ha.
I'd rather die than ever think about anything about that story ever again. So let's move on. Nicki Minaj's barbs came for this YouTuber, so she's suing them. I only want to talk about this very briefly, but what is going on here? Camille Nicole Foster obviously is a YouTuber who makes a lot of content. I think a lot of our gags are watchers. I'm a watcher.
Yeah.
I tune in. Recently made a video about Nicki Minaj. We don't need to go into the specifics because the Barbs are always watching and you can all fill in the blanks. And the Barbs responded. And so Kimberly has responded to the response. What is Kimberly doing, Matthew?
She's quite literally trying to form a lawsuit. She's collecting IP addresses, phone numbers, and private info that she can get from the people who have been sending her death threats and is trying to sue them directly. I think she has a quote here that I found that was like, "In the conversations I've had this week with her legal team, I've learned more and more about how little precedent there is for online harassment. A lot of the lawyers I'm talking to are guessing because there's just not a lot of case law. Most people are not willing to spend the time and the money to see this stuff through. I am absolutely willing to do that."
Also said, quote, "There's an understanding amongst the Barbs that the harder they go for her, the more virulent her nastiness. There's more of an opportunity for her to recognize them." So basically part of this story that I think, has not gone unnoticed by most of the internet is that Nicki Minaj sent them after Kimberly Nicole Foster and was saying some pretty heinous stuff about Kimberly.
Yeah. Kimberly even posted videos of like going through Nicki Minaj's liked tweets. You could see she was liking the posts that were like literally sending death threats and calling out Kimberly directly. So obviously Nicki is directly involved with that.
Them into this, texting them about her, leaking her phone number.
And she's tweeted about Kimberly before, like retweeted her stuff and would be like basically Barbs like sick'em. Like,
yeah. So I think that this is notable. I don't think we need to get much more into it, but I do think
something
it's
we'll be
something
tracking, I think.
To think about. Now I had this Paris Hilton story in here. Paris Hilton closes Versace runway during Milan Fashion Week wearing signature pink Versace mini dress. Now, I'm almost positive this has a video. No, it does not. So let me find you the video. Paris Hilton walking Versace.
Anything interesting going on in these fashion weeks lately? Or
yes, I want to... I can't say that out loud, but Anthony Vaccarello, if you're listening, I want to put this pussy on you because Saint Laurent was beautiful, beautiful, Gorgina. Okay, I'm going to show you this. Are you ready for this? Because this is the most upsetting thing I've literally ever seen in my life. Now, I would say I'm a snob. I would say I'm a bitch, and I would say I'm a snob.
Yeah.
And I'm especially a snob about Fashion Week. I don't think of it as a sacred thing. I'm not trying to like say that it's like some big, you know, thing we all have to have hubbub about. But models...
You like quality.
Models are among the most exploited working people in the fashion and art and entertainment sphere.
Yes.
Maybe among the most.
Never paid.
Public-facing people.
Treated like garbage.
Exploited like, public-facing people.
Absolutely.
Let me qualify that. And I take a lot of umbrage with celebrities, especially, getting cast as publicity stunts and not only like tarnishing and sullying the reputations of models, but looking like fucking fools. Now, I'm going to show you this video. And you're not a fashion person. I'm not saying that as shade. I'm saying it as the truth.
No, I'm not. I don't know enough about it. But I like to enjoy. Let's see this.
Are you ready for this? Now, describe this outfit.
I mean, quite literally giving tiny little pink dress. I don't really know much more to say about
terrible
that.
It's terrible looking, right?
There's,
like, it's not great.
It's pretty blah. And also the headpiece is like
okay,
weird.
Now, are you
the
ready
red
for
veil.
This walk? Are you ready for this walk?
I do know a good walk.
This
not
is
a great walk,
literally
maybe.
America's
I do know when someone knows
model
what they're doing.
Cycle one first out walk.
Okay, let me see. Oh, yeah.
She's like, stretch.
The face, too. It's like, mama, what's going on?
Looking at the floor because I'm going to trip. Stretch. And I'm like doing the thing where like I close my lips and I suck all the air out of my mouth so that my cheeks go hollow. And I'm like, kissy face because I'm a model. Oh, I'm
like, I'm giving fierce, but not really. Like,
I'm tall Kim Petras and I'm walk.
Calling her tall Kim Petras is like long
Kim Petras.
It makes me feel like we're so old already, like that we're at that point.
Long Kim Petras.
It's wild that, and this is not like an ageism thing at all, but it's just wild that she is almost 40 years old. Like it's hard to believe
41.
That we're
it's
at that
41.
Point. She's 41.
Yes. So
I thought she was like
38.
There's like
nothing interesting about this.
The only thing I saw in that article that was kind of interesting was that she like was supposed to do a podcast episode with Joe Biden but turned it down to go to Britney's wedding.
I mostly just wanted to post like, that mama. Because, like, that was, like, can you imagine your walk at Versace wearing, like, the iconic Versace mini dress you famously wore being such a nothing burger that, like, your, like, racist old mom overshadows you for, like, the fifth week in a row for being, like, a weird old for racist.
Also commit building an entire nothing burger out of something. Yeah. Like,
the Richards Hilton extended universe of family conflict is exhausting.
Needs to be flushed down a drain.
So we also have something I only very briefly want to touch on, which is there are alleged dating rumors of Brad Pitt and Emily Ratajkowski. Now, Emily has been talking quite extensively about the end of her marriage to Sebastian Bear McClard. And all I'm going to say to Emily is, girl, you literally better run. Like, you better run. You better take your child. You better run. Like, get out. Like, now. Leave that man and get as far away from him as possible. Sorry. I also want to talk about Meredith Marks. Now, you what read this do? Too, right?
I did, yes.
So the Salt Lake City premieres, we're actually missing it to record this podcast.
Oh, it's tonight, yeah.
It's literally right now. That's the
first thing I'm doing right when I go home.
Yeah, I'm literally taking my pants off and then I'm going to put on that episode. So Meredith Marks, quote, why I'm still speaking to Jen Shah after guilty plea. And again, the fact that like Meredith Marks has made I'm engaging, like her tagline is the stupidest shit I've ever seen in the world.
But it's kind of iconic, I won't lie.
She's not disengaging. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Meredith Marks is maintaining a friendship with Jen Shah, even after the latter pleaded guilty in her fraud case. So this is from Page Six, quote, Jen and I are still speaking, and more than ever, I think she probably needs some support from people around her. You'll see a lot unfold, and I have a much better level of understanding of the place where she's coming from. I can't say in terms of her plea that I have no idea, but just in generally, emotionally, you'll see a lot of how she and I reconnect. Now, to be clear, Meredith Marks famously got on TV and was like, you said my son was gay before I ever had a conversation about it with him. And I just think that that is the most awful thing you could have ever done.
You can't trust Jen Shah.
You can't get on TV and tell everyone my son is gay.
There's security footage of her stealing a purse from my store.
I know he's going viral for doing an Instagram live about his skincare in the middle of a Broadway show, but I just think it was so rude to insinuate that my gay son was gay. I just think that if
you... my poor little boy who's 22 years old.
So I just think that that's so neat, don't you think? That she went from that to like also laying in a bathtub.
One of the most unreal dissociative things I've ever seen in my life. She was in that bathtub for so long, the bubbles sunk and dissolved, and then they refilled it so they can get a shot later. She was in that thing for hours, pruned up. Like
waiting for the cameras to arrive so she could have a moment where she shows like genuine glee that Jen had been arrested.
She's holding a champagne glass.
Writing so hard for Jen, and to think that all of this is because Lisa called her house ugly. Like, to think it's all because she allegedly called Lisa's house, like, remodel ugly, and Lisa went on that whole fucking rant. She's fucked half of New York. Like, it's literally all because she said that Lisa's house was ugly. Like, and that she shouldn't feed her kids fast food.
And now she's all, like, doing the whole, like, what is this here? I believe that at a minimum, Jen believed in her own innocence because she said she was innocent. It was surprising that she took a plea. It was surprising for sure that she took a plea because, if anything, I thought that she would at least go to trial. But hopefully we get to see the backstory of how that all unfolded. We live, my favorite thing they always do on Housewives, we live in the United States. We have a justice system here. She was slated for a jury trial. So, in my view, it was not up to me to try to determine her guilt or innocence at any level. That's why we have the justice system that we have. And meanwhile, literally, like, there was that whole subplot last season where she was like, there's footage of Jen stealing, her assistant stealing from one of my stores, and there's that Uber drive she took, and it's like, okay, sure.
I also think, like, the fact that, like, Bravo is probably still rolling on this season just in case something happens.
Yeah, like, they finished the season, but they're like, no cameras are following.
I actually am like kind of thrilled. And we said this about the Salt Lake City season last year, which is funny that we're almost coming up on like a year of that episode Shamira about the whole
shit. It's been so long.
I think that was our first episode with Shamira.
Yeah.
But like, the fact that, like, we're coming up on that, and we had said that, like, they had promised it was a good season, and then it was a genuinely thrilling season.
And her plot was, like, the smallest part of the drama. And it's like, how can you even imagine
that was possible? So this season, it's literally that. Like, she again pleads guilty in the middle of the season. Like,
oh, and then we're going to get footage before where she's not guilty. And then after, oh, it's going to be like, flavor. But
it's just funny that Bravo has, like, Beverly. It's like, okay, remember what I used to say about, like, Beverly Hills and New York would, like, tag team the network ratings with Atlanta, where it'd be like Beverly Hills, New York, Atlanta were like the golden children of the Bravo universe.
Quite literally the pillars of the community.
And it has, like, so wildly shifted to the point that, like, basically nobody could give a flying fuck about Beverly Hills or Atlanta. But, like,
they're like blights right now.
The entire internet is at the edge of its seat because Salt Lake City and Potomac are coming back.
It's like crazy to think that that's how much it's churned. Like, and then New York is like a forgotten memory now. Now it's like you're dated. Well, if you remember watching New York. Funny.
This, we missed this last week, but did you see Andy allegedly say that the first test they
did? Yes, that was a complete failure.
Roni's like new era was like a failure.
Yeah, that like half the women they got on like completely bailed.
I think what they should do is like just do some like real girlfriends of New York.
I don't understand what's so hard about it. Like
just find some dumb 20-year-old marketing interns or like Vogue employees.
We have Summer House. Like that's just get their friends to do that. But the people now, who actually stay in New York.
Now, bitch.
What?
Now, you bitch. I understand.
Oh my God, that, here we go.
Like Salt Lake City and Potomac are good, but I cannot prepare you, nor can I protect you from the kind of person I am going to become when Summer House comes back, because that is like my show. Okay?
That is your hardcore substance. Like, shoot it.
I
want to
rail it. Okay. Like,
like just nonstop.
Me and Carl. But like, I watch that show and it is a visceral experience watching the recent episodes and recent seasons of Summer House with me. I mean, last season there was like multiple episodes where I had to leave my apartment because I got so like emotional and like upset about Summer House.
Oh,
like that show is my reality television Olympics. Like it is a gauntlet.
And that's what's so crazy is that these like secondary shows are now rising to like full mainstream power because they're so much better than the main shows.
Be the crown jewel of Bravo.
But also even things like fucking Below Deck Sailing Yacht or like Married to Medicine or
Married to Medicine, great. I also think
like these shows carry.
I'm making a prediction that like Bravo is probably going to find some way to make The Real Housewives of Dubai season 2 very good. Because
season 1
had a lot of promise and a lot of things that worked.
And it did not deliver.
But it was hindered by like different country and also like the different country. Like literally like the fact that it was like
and the infrastructure of that country being very difficult for filming as well. Yes. Like I say this multiple times, but the more car dependent the city is, the less the housewives will do good magic. Like
so anyways, I'm just saying though that and we say that when like the Real Housewives of Potomac all live minimum
like 3 hours
from
each other. Well, listen, God works in mysterious ways and they do a great job with that material.
Like, Summer House girl, this is the Carl and Lindsay season we're coming up on. Okay. We are promised and they will deliver to us the Carl and Lindsay season. You have no idea how I am going
to
be.
This is literally my Olympics.
Matt, this is a 8-year arc. Okay. 8-year love story.
So this is them finally together?
Yes.
I see.
Because they allegedly were first hooking up last October. And they filmed the reunion and then aired the reunion, like, and it was after they were together for like a while at that point, like basically through the entire winter they were together. She helped Carl get sober fully.
Oh, Jesus.
And like the season, the most recent season, they were like going back and forth and like will they won't they tension, and then they got back together full time after everything.
So now
but
it's
they've
like
never
prime time
filmed
settled.
A full season of television together like as a couple, and I'm telling you, this next season is going to be explosive. You better catch up, because it is going to be Lindsay and Carl versus Amanda, Kyle, Carl. I mean, Amanda, Kyle, Paige, and Craig.
These names. Craig, right? I was going to say, oh.
And I just also want to say,
Pillow Princess Craig.
Do you know that Craig is like actually the only true barometer for heterosexuality in America?
What does that even mean?
I'm being fully serious. Well, Southern Charm. Craig is a character who's been basically a regular on Southern Charm for basically its entire
5 years now, at least.
Pillow Princess was with Naomi Olindo, broke up with Naomi Olindo. Icon.
Naomi.
Yeah, icon. Although she's really testing my patience this season.
Oh, I'm sure.
We'll get into that. So,
well, something's go to the head.
Anyways, the thing with Craig is that he is the most wretched, disgusting weasel of a male manipulator I have ever seen. Like, permanent coke bloat, like, just disgusting and nasty human being.
Yeah. I'm still remembering the scene where they went into his house and it looked like he's been squatting in it for months. He only owns the property. And they find, like, the pile of cum rags, like, next to his bed that he did not push away when they brought the cameras
in. He's a disgusting man.
And it's like, how are you functioning at 32 years old?
But he's vaguely handsome and charming. And so everybody, and I mean,
it's like obsessed.
Everybody thinks that he is like a golden puppy potato boy who's just like so cute. And oh my God, isn't he so darling?
And that's what makes him the ideal straight man. Terrible, and everyone celebrates
it. And you go on those Reddit threads and you go in the forums and you go in the Instagram comments and people are in the trenches for Craig. And it's like, I watch that show and like any like sensible gay person who watches Summer House or Southern Charm will be like, Craig and also Austin are like the most repulsive people alive. But like these women, these straight women who love Bravo are in the trenches. And if like Bravo podcasts even like are mean to Craig, these people are like coming after them in mass. How dare you hurt our golden boy? And so, you know, the golden boy of Bravo is going up against the other golden boy of Bravo, Craig. And it is War of the Golden Boys.
Wait, Craig versus Craig?
Craig versus Carl.
Okay, yeah.
You know, also, if you ever...
These are the most Anglo-Saxon names of all time.
Extremely.
Paige, Lindsay,
Craig, Carl, Amanda.
Oh, Jesus.
Kymanda.
That show is such a fever dream. I'm watching it. I think I'm like almost done with season two now, so I've still got some time to go. But
it literally is like it's on its way out.
Oh my God, I can't believe they lasted this long. Very entertaining. It literally is like a nonstop ride. Like, it doesn't feel like you can ever get off. Like, it's a consistent high note the whole time. It's like actually shocking that there's no lulls whatsoever in that content.
And it's so good now, and like Lindsay, I've never like related to a character on television like more than I relate to Lindsay Hubbard. Like,
really?
Me and Lindsay Hubbard are like so similar. It's sometimes quite frightening.
You're like we were literally sisters in their life.
Like, I will be saying something and she will be then saying it on TV in front of me. Like because like the way I think we react to things is very similar. The iconic
is she
Lindsay,
how you would be on that show? Is that how
absolutely
deep it is?
Absolutely.
And that's why she's with Carl.
Don't activate me. You don't want to see me activated.
That is you. You've said that.
I've said that a million times.
Years ago. Wow.
It's like staring in a mirror, isn't it? A double mirror in a clown car. Riding through.
The mirror the clown car is crashing into.
Crashing through, remember?
Well, there's two clown cars crashing into the same
mirror.
It's a
hall of mirrors.
Yes, the hall of mirrors the clown car crashed into.
So wait, Real Girlfriends in Paris, we do strongly. We keep talking about it, you guys, but it is almost like watching history unfold.
Being made
of
absolutely
us,
golden like, era television.
You're screaming, but you're like in an empty room and you're like wanting everyone to know what's happening, but nobody's there to see it. Like,
again, Bravo can cast well. So it's confusing why the New York thing flopped when this Girlfriends in Paris thing is like off its rockers. Like, it's so good. Okay, this episode.
Don't tell me I haven't seen it. Oh. Is there more fighting?
Oh, yeah, there's full on like people saying, don't say that to me kind of things.
Like, okay, I did see in the
preview. Casey doing the whole, like, the last time someone said this to me, I stopped being friends with them. So don't say that to me right now. Like, and amazing. And okay. It's just for her, of course, making her own mistake. And people just asking her if she needs
Emily,
help.
Emily?
I can't even do the voice. Like, the vocal fry is so harsh on the body.
Yeah.
I, like, don't even know fashion, but I'm so happy to be given this opportunity. She says this I love while Victoria working at the job,
calling
by the
everyone
way.
Babe. Like, babe, you're being so manipulative, babe.
Oh, and Victoria's not beating the pick-me main character allegations, because literally there's, like, people on the street giving her their phone number while other people are, like, painfully single and alone and are crying every night about it.
I also think that, like,
Victoria's like, I'm just so popular and everyone just loves me so much.
Aja is one of those people where I'm like, I think you were made in a lab to be on reality TV. Like,
Aja or Anya?
Aja and Anya are both made in the same lab. Like, they have different strains of chemical X, obviously, but like, they both have, you know, the sugar spice.
Oh, I can't wait till you
nice.
Say it, because it's everything in the
world. But, like, Anya, like... Okay, so we did find something out from one of our listeners who has people they know in Paris and also has, I think, lived in Paris, too. The 9th arrondissement? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, the district, whatever.
Is where, like, nobility lives.
Yeah, they were saying, basically, that that her French husband now would have had to, like, inherit this property with how rare and difficult it is to get a space there. And it also totally fits her. And then they were saying that a lot of the other cast live in, like, the more touristy, like, you know, transplant
kind of... neighborhoods,
yeah. And, like, the gay areas, the, like, you know, cosmopolitan areas. And I'm like, oh, that just tracks completely.
And then, but, like, they were saying that there's, like, basically no housing where Anya lives. It's literally just, like... nobility and government buildings.
Exactly. Like
it's like living,
and that's
like,
why she's so powerful.
It's like the people in San Francisco that like live in the financial center
or
civic center.
No, like, or people live in Pack Heights, like near the like wharf area and stuff.
No. It's like living in civic center. It's like living above the courthouse in civic center.
God, that would be even fucking weirder. No, but there's this parts of SF though, like that are just so expensive and so gatekept that you're like, you only live here if you inherited property, like, or are a bajillionaire. And even then.
Oh, I have a celebrity sighting at work.
What?
Like maybe my biggest celebrity sighting.
Oh, I think Pierce might text me about this.
Yeah, he texted me about this.
No, please tell.
But like, I can't say it on the podcast, but I'm just saying I need to tell you off the podcast about it.
Come on, you can't even say it on Leftovers.
No, but
can
I
you
will
say it like a blind.
This strangest A-listers live in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
And are also doing the strangest side projects in San Francisco.
That completely tracks.
But anyways, I have to tell you this. So yeah, I'll tell you this after. Okay. I just got reminded. But do you have anything else you want to talk about for Leftovers?
Honestly, girl, no. I think that is it. I think we covered what we needed.
So everyone, thank you again for listening.
Yeah.
Go listen to our Minions recaps. We're done for now. For now, keyword.
I don't know if you mentioned in that episode, but what we are definitely going to be doing some, what was it? The Great American Family Channel or whatever
the
fuck.
Yeah, we are going to be doing the Great American
Christmas nationalist
streams. I know, I said this
streams.
In our last episode.
Okay, we did. Just making sure. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of places we're talking.
Because we talked about the Great American thing in
yes.
our Leftovers
true,
episode.
True. Yes.
So anyways,
very
thank
excited
you all for
that.
Listening.
Yes.
Make sure to tell your friends about us. Leave good reviews on our podcast. And also get your friends to sign up for Patreon. And likewise, I said on the main episode, if you do not want your name said like at all, you're like super against it. Please let us know. Otherwise, we will start saying names, like first names. First names and nicknames on the end of the next episode. So just giving everyone a nice shout out.
We love all of you so much.
We love all of you so much.
A lot of you have been joining recently, and we're just, we're so thankful and so happy for it. Like, it means the world, truly. And we're getting to a point where, you know, as more people keep joining, we'll have more time to do this. And that's what I can't wait for.
And so to end, I think... I just want to share something with all of you that's very important.
I almost forgot about this.
A 2-minute video of Mariah Carey talking about 9/11. Goodbye.
Tragedy that was 9/11. And although few, if any of us, have ever forgotten it, you know, and I I was honored to have played a little teeny part in the aftermath of that day as my song Hero became one of the unofficial anthems, whatever, and did, I have to admit, I have a hard time acknowledging my own stuff, but whatever. It comforted us in our collective loss and our recovery. Recently, I was listening to that song again, and in light of more current issues, and in particular, you know, the status of women in our country and around the world, in a very different way, I discovered a very appropriate message for our times and for the women of our time in the lyrics of that particular song. And I'm so proud of everybody out there, this generation that's making the strides everybody's making toward equality for all, equity for all. I mean, whether it be race or gender related, and I'm so, I can't even tell you how honored I am. MC, where's Misty Copeland? That my friend Misty Copeland came today, a woman of that stature, magnitude, she's just incredible, came to this Global Citizens Festival and to help us put together this very special, one of a kind, this is the first time only version of this song. And I dedicate it to all the women, girls, all the lambs in the land, and all the beautiful butterflies living and thriving in the margins, and to anyone who believes in the power of our collective humanity. And because you are all heroes, we're gonna do this one for you.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Oh.